Prologue. Once upon a time, there was a girl called Cinderella who had to be transformed from a simple serving girl into a beautiful princess so she can meet and then marry her prince. But she needs a horse and carriage. Fortunately, Cinders has a fairy godmother to make her dreams come true.
Now, we're going to need a pumpkin for the coach.
A pumpkin? Well, there's a huge one in Button's vegetable patch. I'm sure he won't mind if we used it.
Fetch it, child, fetch it.
You ask 99% of people, they always remember the Shetlands. They're real live ponies. The children love them.
Fairy godmother, I know you mean well, but even if you could magic a coach...
If I could magic a coach, if... Have faith, child. When I magic a coach, when?
All right, when?
Producers faith and that child. Don't think they're the when stars, I but they are. Though they're only on the stage right, about 2 minutes.
I still can't go to the ball. I don't have a ball dress.
You will have, my dear. Now the pumpkin. And hurry, hurry.
They're just such a magical effect. And Cinderella is the most magical pantomime, so it's fantastic to have live ponies because, you know, there are little girls and little boys in the audience for whom this is probably their first ever experience of theatre, let alone pantomime, who are just watching it and utterly believing the fairy godmother.
Oh, isn't this exciting? A coach, footman, ponies and a dress? I only hope I can remember it all. Suddenly, suddenly it happens and your dream comes true.
The great thing about the ponies is that you must always save them and just have them there very, very briefly at the end of Act One. The worst thing to do would be to then use them again in Act Two or anything like that.
Mice, now horses you shall be. Rats, now footmen you shall see. Toad as coachman, then draw near. Pumpkin vanish, coach appear. Threads of moonbeams from the night, laced with starlight, burnished bright, pure as snow and white as milk, make her dress of softest silk.
Pearls. Then you have little mice being turned into two tiny, beautiful white ponies, and I think that's a really special moment.
Look, I'm going to need help with this. Will you help me? Well, look, when we get to the waving of the wand and the wishing bit, if you have a wand, could you wave it really gently and wish really hard? And if you haven't got a wand, could you wish twice as hard? Because I'm going to need all the help I can get. Ready? Let's try.
If you've got just the simple effect of a fairy tale coming true, of mice being turned into ponies, pumpkins being turned into ball coaches, all that sort of thing, you don't need anything else.
By wave of wand and wishes three, the Princess Crystal shall she be.
And then they see the ponies come on stage and they're real live ponies. You hear all the gasps of, you know, oohs and ahs.
Nothing. Maybe there's life in the old wand yet. Now, off you go to the ball, but one word of warning. Magic is not timeless.
What do you mean?
You are the Princess Crystal until 12 o'clock. The magic will not last after midnight. So remember, wherever you are when the clock begins to chime, you must return home before the 12th stroke.
12 o'clock. Right.
Off you go to the ball.
Act 1, Scene 1 in a rural glade.
Go on!
This is where our story begins as we travel back in time to a mystical land, to somewhere near Reading, beside a great highway called the M4. Horse owner and trainer Ian Luckin is in his field, calling in dozens of little white Shetlands who each year are transformed into Cinderella's ponies.
Come on!
We train Shetlands to go on pantomime to pull the Cinderella coach. When my father used to do it, he got into it. He had a couple of ponies. He was hired for one pantomime, and then he bought two more, and then it snowballed from there. And we've just sort of carried on. Now we've got over 100.
Come on!
These are the ones what work. These are the ones what are going away. Yeah, these are the pantomime ponies. with the one we brought up as a baby. The mother wouldn't have anything to do with her. My father was in the circus. They had a circus stopping in the town where he lived, and his brother joined it, and then he joined it, but he was a young boy. Circuses were dying out, and because people didn't like performing animals, so we packed up and we went over to doing pantomimes. No, I'm the only one. I'm the only one like me.
Buster? Buttons? Baron?
Linda's my wife, she helps us out.
Come on!
Tinker, Poe. What else we got? Rwanda?
Come on! Come on, then!
Here they come. One.
My daughter Susie helps me out as well. We've got Sarah, Susie, and Cindy.
I'm Cindy, and I'm 11. Yeah, I help with the ponies. I tack them up and ride them and help just lead them about. When I was 5, my Shetland that I broke in, her mum was being broken in, so she wanted to have a go, and I copied my mum. We chuck rugs all over them so they know, so they get used to having things over their back, and we lead them about, and we don't give them titbits so they don't bite.
Tally-ho! 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 Tally-ho!
They haven't been brought up on the stage in theatrical. I mean, I've been brought up from a baby to in show business, and that's probably what it is at the end of the day. And some people just do not want to be in the limelight.
Tally-ho, yikes, hooray, the good old fox, he got away. Tally-ho, what a wonderful day. Hey, tally-ho, yikes, hooray, the good old fox, he got away. Tally-ho, what a wonderful day.
Act 1, Scene 2, in the marketplace.
Reading it on.
Mr. Luckin goes to the local horse auction in Reading to buy some new ponies. There are lots of Shetlands in all shapes and sizes. Brown ones, black ones, piebalds and skewbalds, palominos and cream. But there don't seem to be any little white ponies.
We're looking for a pony what is quiet, not all up on its toes jumping around.
500 miles. Reading it up.
As long as they don't mind noises, because they've got to have a lot of noise and activity around them, you can usually tell from a glance while standing watching them what they're like. We get them from sales, we get them from all parts of the country.
520.
That's sold.
Richard Dance, auctioneer. There are very few Shetland sales. We've been doing it now for 37 or 8 years. Black and whites are very popular at the moment. Your piebalds are very popular. And as you, if you can see, there's a lot of brown and whites and a lot of black and whites, and colour is the fashion. And unfortunately, white ponies aren't so much the fashion now. Very few around these days, and I couldn't really honestly give you the answer why. White ponies were favourite to go over to Sweden. A few, cream and white, quite a few went over to Sweden. Whether they have big pantomimes over there, I don't know. But as I said, it is trend. People aren't breeding, and that's why they're not about.
Shall we have a look round and see if there's anything else? Well, what is that there?
Palomino.
Palomino. Well, they're no good to us, because they're palominos, aren't they?
The dearest one so far today is 1,500 guineas. A guinea's a pound and a shilling, pound and fivepence, the old auctioneer's commission, 5p to the auctioneer and the pound to the vendor. The dearest one we've ever sold was a stallion at 5,000 guineas. Regularly you'll get mares 14, 15, 16 years old. They can make anywhere from 500 guineas upwards, topping at 3,000 guineas. If the breeding's right, it doesn't matter what age they are.
He's going. He's having a little buck.
Mr. Luckin returns empty-handed. He couldn't find any new little white ponies. Act 1, Scene 3, back at the rural glade. Mr. Luckin is back on his farm near Reading, but he's in a big barn designed like a stage. It's full of bright lights, pyrotechnics and strange machines making lots of noise and blowing hundreds of bubbles. He is training his little white ponies to get ready for the show, making sure that nothing will spoil their magic two-minute moment of transformation.
We're in where we break the ponies. We've got stage light in here, and we've got music, we've got snow machines, bubble machines, trying to get them used to everything. They're partly broken in, but they've got to be finished off now. Now we've got to get them used to all the bits and pieces what go on stage. These have just come out of the field today, haven't you? They were partly broken last year, and we just started getting them back, haven't you? Hey, this one, is she very old?
I'm Paul Elliott, the director, producer, writer of Cinderella in King's Theatre, Edinburgh. Next year will be my 40th year in pantomime. The nice chubby little horses, and they're beautifully kept, beautifully, beautifully groomed, the nice chubby little horses. They're a lovely man too, I've worked with them for 40 years. I think the kids love to see animals on the stage, and they're lovely if they behave themselves, which sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Now, what's happening here?
They're blowing some bubbles in his face to see, because bubbles pop. I know it sounds silly, but horses don't like things like that in their face. She doesn't mind it landing on her head. She shouldn't mind it landing on her body, which, I mean, she can't even feel it. It's just that she can see it from the corner of her eyes. When they've done it about 3-4 times, they start backing off, and you see their eyes getting bigger. Go on, Doug. It's an initial shock of the bubbles coming out. They don't like. You want to try this one? You're going to try the music now. You're going to put some music on it and get loud so they're used to all that noise. Oh. Funny enough, they don't like a lot of noise. I mean, we had one what was frightened a few years ago. We had to put cotton wool in it to hear the noise, especially with a lot of drums and that.
There are funny stories with animals that run across and run on when you want them to, and don't run on when they should. They're animals, and you know, as long as they have fun on the stage and everybody likes them and they're never ill-treated, that's all I care about.
Linda's now banging making a noise with it like a drum, just to get her used to noises, and now she's put it on the back of the pony just to, so it knows it can have noises, it's not going to hurt it. She's doing it to the other one now. The other one is accepting it, but she's a bit jumpy. I mean, this one has accepted near enough everything.
Mr. Luckin has finished training his little white ponies, and they are now ready to be transported to theatres all over the land. But each pony must have someone to take care of them, so dozens of minders have to be found and acquainted with their new little charges. They come from all walks of life and from every corner of the land, but they all have one thing in common. They all love ponies.
I actually started off in motor sales, and I purchased horses for my ex-wife, and unfortunately we split up. And at the time of splitting up, she said, "Well, Theo, I can't cope with taking both horses with me. You'd better take one of them."
Theo Chan, originally from Hong Kong, had no knowledge of keeping horses until a failed marriage in his 20s left him with custody of a horse. He is now a horse trainer and will be looking after two of the little white ponies with his girlfriend, Jo.
Before Jo, it wasn't anything to write home about. I didn't know the front end to the back end of the horse.
Okay, whoa, steady.
Right, let's rustle up these two monsters.
Don't get scared. You get jumpy because they're more used to Joe than me.
I first met Theo when I got my first horse. He wouldn't load into a box, and whereas Theo came and helped with him and helped to load him and overcome any sort of problems he had. And that was about 8 years ago now. And then I didn't see him for a few years, and I met up with him about 4 years later, and we got together then. I never expected to be doing pantomime or anything really, or have as many horses as we do now. It's all, some of the things I think that I'm doing is just beyond my dreams really.
My son, he's 17 now and very much into IT and not interested in horses at all, unfortunately.
Has he ever been?
No, not really. No, he's always been scared of them. So he tends to stay away from them. Reggie's normally away in Hong Kong with my mum or something like that with family. Because of the fact I've got horses here, I've got to stay back and look after them really over the Christmas period. My parents were very surprised that I took on a career with horses, because in the Chinese tradition, if you're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, you're nobody.
Come with me if you be bold, and watch our magic tale unfold. Let's through the woods this very day to Cinderella make our way.
Theo's boss, Mr. Luckin, tries to cater for every eventuality, but occasionally things don't go according to plan, particularly if the stage ponies are not from the Luckin school.
That's it. It's this wand. I knew it was past it. Look, I'm going to need help with this. Will you help me?
The worst story I ever heard about the ponies was a little small place in Wales where there was a pit pony they had, and it came down the aisle, the centre aisle. Unfortunately, on the opening night, the horse dropped dead. Oh, my word, said the fairy godmother, with great ingenuity. The horse has fallen asleep. And so what we must do, we mustn't wake it, so it must be very quiet when the stagehands came in, because they're going to take it and put it back in its basket. And they got this dead horse and they took it out. Terrible story, isn't it?
You were all wishing, weren't you? Wish really hard.
One fell down the trap door. They opened the trap door and it fell down. Then I realised what was happened. The pony had fallen down the trap door. Nobody told us about it. I hadn't done any damage to it, but it wouldn't go back on stage.
They got
a rest, we haven't. We've got a journey to do now. Okay.
So after a whole year standing round in a field, eating and resting, the little white ponies are ready to go to the theatre for their 2 minutes of fame.
They're all tucked up and go to bed now.
they got
a rest, we haven't.
We've got a journey to do now.
Right, that's it. We're on our way.
Act 2, Scene 1, Showtime. Mr. Luckin loads up his ponies into a large lorry to take them to various theatres up and down the land.
Dress rehearsal day so far. The show is running as it should. We have no problems so far.
At the King's Theatre, Edinburgh, stage manager Keith Rawlinson is now responsible for 2 Shetlands.
Never had a problem with the ponies, ever. We used to take one of the ponies to the pub once a week. Well, they got a packet of crisps.
Yeah, but he didn't tell you the full story when he took him into the pub.
But Pauline, one of the pony minders, felt Keith was holding back on the full truth.
The pony done the whole business. A wee and the other. On the landlord's new carpet, and he went crazy.
Time for you to come in.
Right, we're ready now?
Aye.
Right.
Okay. Come.
My name's Patrick Nelson. I'm the company manager of this particular panto. This will be my 3rd Cinderella, yes, so I'm getting quite used to ponies and their various vicissitudes. Initially, they tend to be a little scared at first. You need to walk them around the theatre to start off with, just so that they get used to it. It makes it slightly different in terms of a crewing situation. Just the very fact that you're working with animals, there are ablutions and things that come with it. A lot of the time, company managing a Cinderella, the first thing that's on your mind is wiping up horse manure and things right the way through. We have to factor in things like making sure that the manure gets cleaned up.
It takes a long time to stop pooing on the side of the stage. I mean, we have to go outside and try and get them to do it outside. I mean, but that comes at the end of their training. We actually try to break them to do it just before they go on, so they don't do it in front of the audience. But it doesn't always work. Have you got a pooper scooper, Lynn?
Another. Another. Yep.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, this is your excellent beginner's course.
Nikki. I'll just introduce you to Cinderella before we start. Nikki, yes. Are you decent?
I'm Nicola Lloyd. Okay, I play Cinderella. It's my first time playing Cinders, so it's quite exciting, really. I don't dislike horses. I've never really been around them so much, really. I come from Devon as well, which is quite rural Devon, but I've never been around horses or ponies. So I'm not scared of them. I just don't have that much experience with them. So it was quite exciting, really, to meet them on the first day. We were very excited when they first came in that first day. So, yeah, but they've been quite naughty, though. They I think they had a bit of diarrhoea over the first few days' rehearsals.
The band are a bit nervous because the stage has a rake, which means it's got a slope from the back to the front where the band are. So they're nervous if it's anything other than poo, this sort of slow tide is going to gradually creep down the stage towards them and go in the pit.
Oh no, it isn't!
Oh yes, it is!
It's time for the ponies' first performance, and Dorking Horseminder Theo Chan gets his ponies ready to go. They're stabled just outside the town.
It's now 12:30. What we'll do is I'll load up the ponies and check on how Joe's progress is with the horses out the back. We'll get the ponies loaded on board.
How long does it take to get there?
It takes me about 30 minutes to get there. So we should sort of get there just before the start. They've got very much into the swing of everything now. They know exactly where they're standing on stage. Winnie will be the one that's going to be easier to be led, whereas Twinkle will be the one that's more experienced. She's a little bit older. She would have seen more pyrotechnics and flashes and people running around and curtains and everything, so she'll be on the outside towards the audience.
Act 2, Scene 2, Disaster Strikes. Rosie, the wardrobe mistress, has to adapt a costume due to unforeseen events.
Jo lost her favourite horse. And so Jo obviously doesn't feel up to doing the show because she comes on with the coach. So her partner, Theo, is doing the show. And we had to get him into a jacket, which is actually the same one that Jo usually uses. And we've put him in a white wig because he has very cropped hair. So that he matches up to everything else in the scene. We have challenges every day. Everything's happening down in the wardrobe. But we rise above it.
We had a loss over the weekend. And we found a horse injured in the field and we had to have him put down. Jo's in a bit of a state today, so what I said is I'll be happy to go on stage on her behalf. Slight change of plan, obviously. Unfortunately, the show must go on.
So Theo and his girlfriend Jo not only have to deal with the death of their own horse, but also the pressure of performing with the Shetlands. Jo doesn't feel up to going on stage.
It's been a bit upsetting. Just didn't really feel like going on stage and facing the crowds, really, and trying to put on a happy face. Just when something like that happens, you kind of want to be on your own and not in front of people.
Work is work, and we'll struggle on. Next year we're going to say no to pantomimes and spend a quiet Christmas, even cancel Christmas, and just be quiet and sit at home. Stare at four walls and watch telly. Stay warm.
Isn't that what fairy godmothers are for?
Fairy godmother. I see. Buttons has put you up to this to cheer me up. Well, you can tell him I stopped believing in fairy godmothers a long time ago. That's just for fairy tales.
So you keep telling me.
Heroically, Theo steps in at the last moment to lead the ponies onto the stage in Joe's place.
So we're standing by behind stage, waiting for our turn. Hopefully the ponies will keep quiet and behave themselves without causing too much ruckus. Nice warm rest here at the moment. We're out of the weather.
Finally, the ponies are ready for their 2 minutes of fame. Theo, now dressed as one of the footmen in his white wig and brown velvet jacket, is waiting in the wings. Any moment, the Shetlands will be magically transformed from mice
into little white ponies.
Mice, now horses you shall be. Rats, now footmen you shall see. Toad as coachman, then draw near. Pumpkin vanish, coach appear. Threads of moonbeams from the night, laced with starlight, burnished bright. Pure as snow and white as milk, make her dress of softest silk.
I like Cinderella best. It's because it's good entertainment.
I thought they were very well behaved and they're very cute.
I think the ponies were really cute and I would have loved to cuddle them. They were really pretty.
By wave of wand and wishes three, the Princess Crystal shall she be.
It was 100% perfect. Everything. The ponies, everything.
Thank you, everyone.
Fairy Godmother, it's wonderful.
Oh, it was nothing. Maybe there's life in the old wand yet. Now, off you go to the ball, but one word of warning. Magic is not timeless.
What do you mean?
You are the Princess Crystal until 12 o'clock. The magic will not last after midnight. So remember, wherever you are when the clock begins to chime, you must return home before the 12th stroke.
12 o'clock. Right.
Off you go to the ball.
I think they like being part of it because they just have a really nice life and they get, like, washed and they fear that they go into pantomime. Then they have go back in the field and ready for next Christmas. Oh.
Sorry.
And so, until next year, everyone will live happily ever after.